You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, you're going to meet a guy who has played all 100 of the top golf courses in the country. He's nuts. Also, we're going to take you to haunted plantations, and we have a very, very special guest movie reviewer today. Let's meet the friends. He hates the government, but he's a hack. It's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
I didn't do it. I swear I wasn't there. However, I will tell you, if you want to know all the weird, kinky stuff your mailman is into, I will tell you where to go to get that information.
She has both hands on the wheel, but I cannot vouch for what her feet are doing right now. Say hello to Skylar Charisma.
Oh, wow. Well, we've all taken Saturday morning joyrides, only most of us do it with our clothes on. Am I right?
You are correct, young lady. Hey, you know what? If you listen to us on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes, they read your comments. They notice your five-star reviews. And don't forget to subscribe to the program. That's always helpful. Let's get things started. We'll go over to you, Greg. And, boy, talking about the mailman. And
well, yeah, here's the thing. Remember, we heard all about that federal government data breach. So
Oh, yeah.
If you were a federal employee, like all your stuff was out there. And I didn't really pay that much attention to it, being that I'm not a federal employee. But apparently it's a much bigger deal than we initially thought because – a lot of people that have a lot of high security clearance go through a pretty in-depth interview process to get that clearance. So if you're into weird stuff, part of the information that's been leaked is what is called – it's all on Standard Form 86 or SF-86 as they call it.
Ooh.
And so if you have a high security clearance, they ask you a lot of questions. You even maybe undergo polygraph and all this other stuff, and they ask you stuff about – what weird sect stuff you're into.
Like, really?
Are you into bestiality or
– That's
or do you
weird.
Have, right, well, no, but they apparently, you know, it's –
Because, look, if you were not, you or I went over to the Quickie Mart on the corner and filled out an application and the boss interviewed us, the boss can't ask any questions, personal questions about – they can't ask you how old you are anymore. They can't ask you any sexual preference or interesting things that you'd love to ask and have conversation about if you're sick and twisted like the people that run our government apparently.
Apparently. Yeah, but apparently all that information is gleaned. And so the higher your security clearance, the more information they have in this particular file. And so in this data breach, they believe a whole bunch of that information is now out there, and we believe it's in the hands of the Chinese, and
yes,
they will use that to find people who would like to perhaps get back at the government.
Yeah, perhaps.
Based on that information.
Here's how it's going to happen. It's going to come down this way, Greg. Somebody's running for government, running for office, and they want to get something on their opponent who is leading in the polls. And so they'll call up the clearinghouse guy in China and say, dude, what do you have on this guy?
Well, they say, well, you have
200 grand? Yeah, sure. Here you go. We just had a fundraiser, and here's 200 grand. Okay, fine. Take a look at this. Wow, that's pretty good.
See,
that's all you got?
This is, I've always said I clearly have no intent to ever be in any form of public office whatsoever.
Well, not now, anyway, right?
Well, no, that's why I've always just put all my stuff out there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, here, internet, here is my genitalia. Enjoy!
No, you've not done that.
Phil, you're the one man that hasn't seen it.
Oh.
So I always say, just put it out there, and then we should all... At some point, we should all just be naked on the internet, and then this would all be over.
All right,
we
equalize
wouldn't have
everything.
Right, it would be a great equalizing thing,
and we'd be so much healthier for it.
It's true. It really is.
You know, all the bad body image stuff would go right out the window.
Sure,
and we wouldn't worry about any of that anymore. In fact, you know what would be fun? If you're watching...
That's right, Phil. I can't wait to see your new profile after this, Phil. I'm looking forward to it.
If you're watching...
We've known each other a long time, but...
The local news and the weathercaster comes out naked. Now, isn't that the next step?
Wouldn't that be? Wow, yeah. Well, isn't there... There's some of that on the internet. There's, like, naked weather girls out there, right? Do they still do that?
I think they do.
But the guy, what is it? Mark Burnett, you know, master of the reality series.
Yes, biggest.
Has teamed up with the Funny or Die people And now they're going to put on TBS, it's going to be Funny or Die presents America's Next Weatherman. And so it's a competition featuring a series of 12 contestants, male and female. You'll win $100,000 and the big chance to deliver a weather report on CNN's New Day morning show.
Oh, no.
Just one weather report?
That's what it says. It seemed a little disappointing.
They don't want to take any chances.
Exactly.
Right. At least you get $100,000 out of the deal. But, yeah, you get to do one weather cast.
Yeah. They've got Ingrid Svenska or whatever. What's her name? She's on in the mornings on CNN on the morning day and the night show.
Oh, I haven't.
You know who I'm talking about? Yeah,
I think so.
She's
I haven't watched CNN
Swedish
in forever. You get to there'll be a series. It's obviously it's Funny or Die, so it's going to be there's going to be some comedy that's part of it. Mike Farah is one of the executive producers of the thing.
Who's that?
Mike Farah.
Do you know him?
No, but he's part of Funny or Die, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Mr. Burnett, who is the, you know, master of the reality show.
He owns television.
Yeah, but reading between the lines of what Mark said about the show, and this is a quote from this this Farah guy, it's clear that this is the most important show he's ever made.
So, in other words, it's not.
Yeah, it's probably going to be pretty silly. It looks like it might be fun.
Yeah, and it won't suck like Whole Foods does.
Well,
ooh,
that's,
nice one.
Yeah, do you go to the Whole Foods?
I went in once and felt like I was being judged. And in fact, somebody did say, "You're not going to buy that, are you?"
Mm-hmm. It's like going to the record store. Yeah. And the record store guy's like, "You're not going to buy that album."
Yeah, right. Well, I was, but I'm not anymore.
I don't
go there just because of the pretentiousness of the clientele. I just can't stand being in there.
Yeah,
I'm more of a Trader Joe's person. But in New York City, Whole Foods has gotten into trouble because they seem to have been overcharging customers regularly and by a lot. Investigators in New York City have launched a probe of the chain after finding that local stores regularly overcharging shoppers based on the weight of products.
Yeah.
So like stuff that is labeled as this much is actually much less.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, apparently there may be a huge fine.
That's all in the part and parcel with their attitude, right? They think,
well,
okay, you are privileged to be walking amongst the aisles in our store. And so why not charge it?
Charge more? Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It gives the air of it's more, it's fancier, clearly, because it's more expensive, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
These are sprouts you're eating. You're eating roots.
What do they sell those sprouts per pound there at Whole Foods?
Right, yeah.
$12 a pound.
Really?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
They better give me a back rub while I'm, quick frying them in the pan there. All right. A show of hands, if you've taken a joyride.
Oh, me.
Hell yeah? In somebody else's car?
Well, isn't that how you do it?
Yeah, exactly it is. Okay. Exactly it is. But we've all done it. Right. Okay, Greg, I don't know if this is the case. I'm taking a long shot here that the joyrides you've taken were with your clothing on. Okay. Well,
Don't judge.
Skyler, right out of the starting gate, has nudity for us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Yay! Woo!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Keep your clothes on. We're here. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and Skyler Charisma are here today. Them's the friends. And Skyler, before we broke, we teased everybody with the idea that you would weave images of nudity for us in your debut story.
Yay, naked!
This is your first story. And so take it away. We'll just lean back in this chair and enjoy.
Okay, well, enjoy this. Okay, so imagine this. It's Saturday morning. There's a couple taking a joyride, only this couple has their clothes off. Okay, I haven't seen this couple, so I don't know if this is actually an image we want in our brain. But
we'll just imagine.
Yeah, it could be horribly, horribly bad.
We'll just imagine that they're...
Let's go with good. Let's think good.
Yeah, let's just go there.
Flawless beauties.
So an Ohio couple ended up with a pair of matching bracelets after police discovered them going full Monty behind the wheel. It all started when officers in Westlake, Ohio, received complaints from an overnight worker about a couple, just a man and a woman, hanging out by the car in a commercial parking lot. Minus their clothes. They hopped in the car. They took off. Cops caught up with them. And what did they discover when they pulled them over? Well, there was 24-year-old Alexandria Maurer in the driver's seat just mowing down a slice of pizza.
Ooh.
And her 33-year-old cohort, Kenneth Gillespie, he was, you know, he had a can of beer between his feet, you know, at his feet, and he's just, you know, protecting that at all costs. So
wait, what town are we in? And we're in Ohio.
We're in Westlake, Ohio. Yes,
Westlake. I mean, really, what else is there to do
besides pizza and beer?
What? Yes. What a Saturday night. Something like that.
Naked Saturday, to be exact.
Right. It's Ohio. Come on.
I mean, we're all for letting it all hang out, but time and a place, right?
Sure.
Okay, so according to reports, police ordered them out of the car and into some clothes, only she had some to put on. He didn't have much besides a sweatshirt and underwear, so the cops had to help him out, gave him a pair of old jail pants and some shoes.
It was almost like a fitting, wasn't it?
Nice.
Like to introduce you to your new tailor.
So here we go. She was arrested for operating a vehicle while intoxicated. She also refused a breathalyzer test. She was later released to a relative. 24 years old, released to a relative, and you'd think her night would have ended there, but instead of staying put, on the way home, she jumped out of the car. Police then found her a couple hours later just wandering the roads, arrested her again, this time for disorderly conduct while intoxicated. Yeah.
This is my kind of woman. I want to meet this lady.
Tweak her,
because she's a goer, you know?
Yeah. Well,
the party doesn't stop with
she's
this
She's got somewhere to go.
Broad.
You know, I'm curious. A thought just occurred to me. On a busy night, if you're the 15th person to be pulled over, potentially intoxicated, and they ask you to do the breathalyzer, does that breathalyzer smell like beer and cigarettes?
I mean, it's gotta, right?
You know what I'm talking about?
Or pizza and beer.
Right? Yeah.
That breathalyzer has been around.
You know, it's sometimes easy these days to just weave Kim Kardashian into just about any story.
It's true.
And so I'm going to do that to yours, Skylar.
Okay, please do.
Kim K was awoken... at 4 a.m. at her hotel in France by a drunk, naked woman. And I don't know if it's the same lady.
Alexandria,
what was her name?
Was it Alexandria Maurer?
The naked woman thought it was her room. Kim says, quote, she was knocking but banging and kicking, and I couldn't go back to sleep afterwards, so I screamed profanities at her, but she kept using her Amex as the key.
You know Kim's? What? It makes me happy that Kim Kardashian, her sleep was interrupted by some crazy broad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a certain satisfaction in that.
Yeah.
That,
you want to know why Kim is in France? I mean, she could go to France any day of the week if she wanted to, right?
You mean porn star Kim Kardashian? Yes. Yeah. Why was she in France?
She's in France for the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity.
Because she's so creative.
Right.
She was invited to speak at an international festival of creativity.
Oh,
sure.
Geez.
You mean porn star Kim Kardashian and all her creativity was there for everyone to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was
lovely.
Pretty creative naming her kid North. You got to give her that.
Yes. We will give her that, and that's it.
Is creative the word we're using for stupid? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
It is. Right. You want to know who's creative? I don't know if you've ever seen him in concert, but I have. James Taylor's a creative guy. Whether you like his music or not, he's pretty creative. And he's an affable fellow.
Successful.
It seems like you could get along with him on a good day. But in all the time that he's been making music, 50 years, he's never had a number one album until now.
Wait, James Taylor has an album?
Yeah, he does.
Now?
It's called Before This World.
All right.
All right. So what
is that? James Taylor is the number one artist right now?
Yeah. So there's usually another Taylor at the top of the list, but this in this case, it's James Taylor. And it took 97,000 sales of his album to launch him to number one. Doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
This didn't happen on accident. People thought they were Taylor Swift, and they got James Taylor instead. No.
She's on second. She's number two.
She's number two.
This week.
That makes me so happy, though.
What, that Taylor Swift is number two? What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just happy that she's not number one, and it's James Taylor. That's outstanding.
You want to know who the rest of the list, just to, so you feel old?
Okay.
Or you feel disgusted. Adam Lambert is number three. Ed Sheeran is number four. Hilary Duff has an album.
Oh, I did read about that. I was surprised. And it made it up there?
She's actually tied with Ed Sheeran. They both sold 39,000 copies. It sounds like that's how many the record
now,
label
wait, this
buys
is just
themselves and then reports that they were sold.
On stuff that's actually physical products that are being sold, right? Yeah. This isn't like downloads or streaming or what have you.
Yeah,
right?
And then there's a guy named Sam Hunt. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
I think I know his brother Mike, but just the same, he sold 32,000.
I always ask for him at the bar and see if he's there. Yeah. Can you ask around?
Montevallo is the name of his record. Nate Roos.
Yeah, he's in that band Fun.
Oh, that guy with the hair.
Yeah, the like little pompadour kind of thing.
That guy with the hair.
Yeah, that one guy with hair.
Megan Trainor. She's the
all about that. She's all about that bass.
The bass, yeah. She's number eight. Maroon 5, which every band wants to sound like these days. I turn on the radio and I ask my wife, "Is that Maroon 5?" She said, "No."
My dad asked.
Then another record comes on. Is that Maroon 5? No.
Yeah. If you're a band, you just go to your computer and you put in "Make us sound like Maroon 5" and it spits out a song for you.
There's an app for that. Yeah.
There's an app. Yeah.
And another band I don't get, but my daughter loves Mumford and Sons, and they're number 10.
They're actually a very, very good band live.
Are they?
Yes. You would enjoy it.
I'm more of a Wiz Khalifa guy.
Of course you are.
I get that from Phil. You just look at him and you go, you know where this guy is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Greg, I take you as a Rose McGowan guy.
I do have a Rose McGowan thing.
Yeah.
That's widely known.
Have you met?
But there was no. All right. No. That's on the list.
But I hear she's not happy right now.
Well, yeah. There was an audition thing. She got on, you know, as stars do, they get on the Twitter and they say things and then things blow up. But yeah, she had an audition opportunity. There was an audition request for a film asking women to come in for this audition, read the script, and also if you could wear a, quote, form-fitting tank that shows off cleavage.
Ooh.
Push-up bras encouraged.
Yeah.
Turns out it was for an Adam Sandler movie, which is, I guess, not all that surprising. But she went off on the thing that and basically called out the sexism of this whole thing.
Sure.
And in the process of doing so, her agent dropped her. So I assume she did not go to the audition.
No.
And she went on to say that she didn't mean to call out Adam Sandler, even though she kind of did. But
here's your inspiration for the audition, Rose. Just imagine Adam Sandler is here and he's calling you mommy.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. So anyway, yes, Rose McGowan has been fired by her agent for talking out about sexism in Hollywood. And it's no great big surprise, but I mean, if you're making a film and, you know, like if you're going to have Rose McGowan come in and audition for you, and don't you want to see her?
My question is, since when did she have a problem bringing the girls out?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing.
How many times have we seen her wearing less than...
And why do I then have a thing for her? Clearly, because she's kind of put that out there that she's hot, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's Rose McGowan's current situation. So, a Hollywood agent, you may have an opportunity to pick up Rose McGowan.
Sure, that's not the only reason why they dropped her.
I'm sure she's contrite at this point, and she'll take the first agent that comes along. So there you go. Did you know that some species of caterpillars have evolved to look like bird poop?
I did not.
So if a bird spots them, they're more likely not to eat. Birds don't eat their own poop. That's the stuff, that, you know, they'll sift through it while they're going through the seeds and the worms and that sort of thing. Oh, that's my poop. Not eating that.
So what you're saying is my car is covered in caterpillars right now?
It could very well be.
Okay, all right. That's even more disturbing than what I initially thought.
But just imagine that poop is going to turn into a lovely, beautiful butterfly someday.
Your car will one day turn into a butterfly.
Yeah, that's not likely to happen.
Oh. Wishful thinking.
Yep. All right. Now, back to you, Skylar. And by the way, you're fitting in nicely here.
Thank you.
I think we like you. We were talking about the Naked Joyride, and police have all sorts of things to worry about, and sometimes a routine traffic stop can go south in a hurry, can't it?
Oh, it can. Yeah. I got a very interesting story for you out of Texas, right between Dallas and Fort Worth, to be exact. An Irving police officer was nearly hit while conducting a routine traffic stop on the side of the highway. Apparently, he was writing out a ticket, and while he was doing so, a car nailed the cop's motorcycle and then just sped off, barely missing him.
Wow, he's lucky.
Right, very lucky. Now, the interesting part is that the driver, who was initially pulled over, decided to take off, chase down the hit-and-run vehicle.
With the cop in the car?
No. The cop was still just standing outside. He took off.
He just ditched the cop.
Yeah, ditches the cop. So I'm sure the cop's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
He chases that guy. He pulls him over, forces him to pull over, apprehends him until the cops arrived and helped him. And, it turns out the guy was texting.
Oh, the guy that hit the cop.
The guy that hit the cop was texting and admitted he was texting and just veered off the road and nearly killed an officer.
And so the dude that was pulled over initially, he left the scene of a routine traffic stop. Is he in trouble?
No, he actually got off with a nice big thank you.
How about that?
No ticket.
Superhero kid right there.
Southern hospitality is what it is.
70 other additional tickets, right?
Big weekend of the movies. Will you do like everybody else and see Ted 2, or will you sit down to something more nourishing? We have a very special guest movie reviewer joining us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Big weekend of the movies. It's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live now is a legend in Los Angeles television, 44 years reviewing movies, interviewing stars at CBS and NBC in L.A. He's known across the country. He has a brand new podcast. It's called The Other Side of Stardom. Hello to David Sheehan. Hi, David.
Hello to Phil Hewlett, ladies and gentlemen.
It's great to hear from you, man.
Thank you.
I know you have a handful of movies that you want to review, but before people waste a bunch of money on the wide release biggies this weekend, Max and Ted 2, should we even bother with those?
Which one is Max?
I'm not sure. He was here a while ago, but he had his twin brother with him. It's a movie about a dog, is it not? It must not be.
You're asking me.
No, yes.
I know nothing about Max. I haven't heard of that one. And,
okay, don't see it.
My situation is a little weird. I've you know, like you said, and thank you for the sterling introduction, by the way.
A pleasure.
But yeah, 44 years is a long time of going to the movies. But then again, being paid to go to movies and free popcorn, that was cool, kind of cool.
Yeah. But would you even bother if they paid you to go see Ted 2?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I like that guy's humor. What's his name? He hosted the Oscar show one year.
Yeah.
Seth
MacFarlane.
MacFarlane. That dude is a little kind of potty mouth, but he's got a quirky sense of humor that probably would make Ted 2 worth seeing for a few laughs, but it's not the kind of movie that I would run out and see. Now, in the old days, I was being paid, so I had no choice. I had to see everything.
Yes.
Any note that came out.
And I remember the look on your face when you used to do the reviews of a movie that you weren't all that fond of, that you clearly saw it because you got paid to see it. But you were always polite, but just the same, you could read between the hint of a smirk on your face.
Or the frown. Yeah, there were some turkeys in my day, but there always are. And I don't want to in any way disparage Ted 2, because I haven't seen it.
All right, fine.
It's the kind of movie that I wouldn't run out to see now that I'm not being paid to see movies. So I'm very selective in going to movies.
All right, so David Sheehan, now to more thoughtful fare. Al Pacino has a new movie out with a cool name, a name that, in fact, if they sold these at the store, I'd buy one. I think I could do some damage with a Manglehorn.
Well, yeah, nobody knows quite what a Manglehorn is. But the guy who wrote the movie said he got the name from a street sign in the valley. He just liked the name, and he named the character Mr. Manglehorn, who was a locksmith in a small town, and he's played by one of the greatest film actors of all time, I would say. say, Al Pacino. And the funny thing about it is this is a small movie, low budget. The release pattern is limited, so you're going to have to really seek it out if you want to see it. But to me, it's one of those small budget but big-hearted kind of it's a labor of love, really. And in that labor of love, there are various kinds of love. You can sit there and just truly experience Al Pacino's love of acting, for one thing. And then his character, he has a love for his character. You can feel that. And then the character has a love of life, even though he's in all kinds of different troubles with his family, with his son, with his granddaughter, and especially with this lovely lady whose love he has lost because of some bad habits.
And we have a clip, don't we? Or at least a clip of an interview you did with Al Pacino. Isn't that right?
No, what happened was there was such a love of acting and so on that sort of vibrated in this particular movie, Manglehorn, which I think is playing now on Sunset Boulevard in La Cienega at that Sundance Theater. And in expressing his love of acting by virtue of the performance, reminded me of an interview I did with him where he really talks about acting as a way of life. And that's the little soundbite you can play right now.
You have given us some indelible characters, driven men of great passion and intensity. What does it tell us about Al Pacino?
I guess they say you speak through your work or something, and sometimes that's true. Sometimes there are parts that you find that you can speak through, and I think that's wonderful when it happens.
When he isn't acting.
Yeah, all right. Speak through your truth. I like that. Yeah. Because if you're not honest about what you're doing, people can see right through it.
Exactly. And the beauty of this little movie is that if you have any appreciation of the art and craft of acting itself, it's just a joy to watch. And the story certainly is engaging, too, because it's the guy has these troubles and everything, but he ends up filled still with hope that maybe a second chance is possible and maybe he's going to get it. And he irons out a lot of little personal difficulties along the way. And there's just something very touching about it. It's a very rewarding kind of movie for an audience, I think.
One worth seeing. All right, tell us about Testament of Youth. I'm not familiar with this one.
Well, that's a really, really, really important movie that is still playing and in many more theaters than Manglehorn. Manglehorn is the Al Pacino movie. Testament of Youth is another small movie. It's from England, got no big stars in it except for Emily Watson, who plays a small part as a mother. But it's the first film in a long time that made me wish I was back on the air reviewing movies so I could, tell millions of people from CBS or NBC about a truly moving and marvelous kind of movie-going experience. It's even kind of an enlightening entertainment, if you can use that term. It takes us into a World War I situation with young people that gives you a sense of what it's like to be young, not just then, but anytime, and what it means to be a young person in conflict about what am I doing with my life. And, of course, they're facing the nationalistic loyalty. Should I enlist in the Army? And without preaching or promulgating any particular point of view, Testament of Youth really does give us a kind of like a reminder of how the insanity of war is only made possible by the way we sort of seduce innocently impressionable young men and women to sign up, fight these supposedly righteous battles of ours. And there's something about that for me, it made Testament of Youth almost like a testament of truth, And I was thinking, man, if you could take a 17-year-old or whatever who's getting kind of gung-ho, I want to have one of those uniforms, man. I want to fight for my country and all that. If they could see this movie, they would not volunteer to serve in the Army, I don't think.
Well, okay. So, see, that's the thing, because what is the majority of youth face these days when they wake up in the morning, they have the option to sleep another hour.
Right.
Now, David Sheehan, we've run out of time. I know you wanted to talk about the movie Far From the Madding Crowd, and if you could just give me a sentence or two as to why we should see it, I'll grant you that, sir.
Well, that one, I would say, don't rush out and see it. It's very well done, but it's slower than can be, and it's trying to set up three different kinds of maleness for this one woman to choose between or among.
Sounds like a reality show.
It's a little right? too obvious, a little too obvious, but it's still, it's well done, but it's way in the middle, you know?
And may I just say, the wind chimes at your palatial suburban estate there sound like a bartender clinking beer glasses.
Yes, I'll have one of those, please.
DavidSheehan.tv, he's on Facebook, he has a YouTube channel, his new podcast, internet program is called The Other Side of Stardom, and you are a star, sir, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to have you on this program. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're a nice man. Thank you for the kind word.
All right, David Sheehan. Everybody, how about that? Watch that guy on TV. Did I watch him for 44 years? It is entirely possible that I did.
We're talking about Pacino, and I just wanted to go, hoo-ah!
Yeah, exactly.
Does he do hoo-ah in this movie? Come on.
I hope hoo-ah. He does. I hope he does. Do you play any golf there, Greg?
I am not a golfer.
Yeah, no. Just you're the guy they laugh at the charity golf tournament, right?
What about me?
How about you?
No, I don't.
No, of course you don't. All right. But Duffers everywhere, stand by for the top golf courses in the USA and a guy who has played every one of them. He joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends at .com. You're at our website where you can have numerous types of fun. Like you can listen to programs that you missed. Every one of them is there. I think we're up to like 205 programs.
Nice.
And you could listen
That's
to
a lot of programs.
It is a lot.
Just listen all the way from the start to the end and all the different changes and all the various friends that we've had on the program. The friends today are Skyler and Greg, and I'm Phil. How are you? Nice to see you. Now, if you play golf, or if you're like me, you pretend to play golf, it really matters not how well you play. What people don't realize about golf is that it's really about who you're playing with and where you are playing. And that's what you remember on down the way.
Isn't that what they say? It's a walk spoiled.
Yeah.
That is what golf is.
Exactly. Now, it's not your score that you remember, unless, of course, you accidentally do well. That's the kind of sport golf is. Now, joining us live is a man who 5 years ago decided he wanted to play every one of Golf Magazine's top 100 U.S. golf courses available to the public. He completed his goal, believe it or not. He's raked his hazard, brushed off the mud from his spikes, and he's here. He's the author of the book Confessions of a Golfaholic, which, incidentally, is available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Paul Laubach is here to talk about that and more. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Phil. How are you doing today?
Good. How'd I do mangling your last name?
Yeah, got it perfect.
Oh,
appreciate
beautiful.
That.
All 100 golf courses, huh?
Yes, all 100.
How many states is that?
Well, I ended up going to about 44 states, ultimately, but a couple of those, I think I was just driving through to get to airports, and I did get stuck in Alaska going on a cruise.
Yeah.
I counted that because it was sort of part of this, one of the trips.
Yeah, but a couple of the golf courses have to be in Hawaii.
There are four golf courses in Hawaii.
Well, now.
Good
see,
call.
We're
yeah.
talking.
Yeah, each one's on a different island, which makes it logistically a real fun trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, you're in Hawaii.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like Hawaii. There's no laid-back attitude when you're trying to jump around from island to island, especially when you want to go out to Princeville and you call them to get your time, and they say, oh, guess what? We're replacing our greens. Come back again someday.
Oh, great. Mm.
Which my wife didn't mind, by the way.
Where was this? Princeville?
Princeville on Kauai.
Oh. That's Kauai, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. So you didn't get to play Princeville.
Oh, I did get to. I had to go back there at the end.
Oh.
So, well, there were actually five instances where I was supposed to play a course and for whatever reason couldn't make the round, so
yeah.
Had to go back again.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's see. So you went to Hawaii. Was there a golf course in Alaska?
There was no golf course in Alaska in the top 100 list. I don't even know if they have golf courses in Alaska. Golf Magazine does break it down by state and lists usually the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think they listed five for Alaska total. That's all they could find.
Yeah.
Probably half were nine-hole courses, but did not get to play there. It would have been fun, though.
No, sure. You know, can you bring your dogs? So how long did all of this take?
We ultimately did it in just about 4 years. I got a little compulsive towards the end and couldn't wait to get some of the garden spots of the United States, so we pushed it up.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, so what was your favorite course? You had to have one,
singular
best.
I hate to be like everybody else, but Pebble Beach is such a wonderful place.
Oh, yeah, isn't it?
17-mile drive there is just fantastic.
Now that's Carmel, or is it Monterey, California?
Well, I guess it's technically Monterey, right next to Carmel, though, but within the gates of 17-mile drive, where you also have my second favorite course, which is Spyglass Hill. So just a tremendous place. It's the only golf course where seals will be barking in your backswing.
And every now and then, they could be laying on the blue tees, too.
That was actually the alligators in the South.
I was going to ask about, yeah, Florida. Any alligator encounters when you're out there on one of those courses?
Oh, yeah. We had a number of them. Actually, one of the funny moments, I had put a ball in the water at a course called May River in South Carolina, and I was about to reach in to grab it. My caddy pulls me away and says, some guy lost his hand there last year.
Ooh.
But, you know, it was a Pro V1. Those things are valuable.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Man.
That is funny. All right, so the top 100 golf courses, it's probably difficult to say there was a worst, but you can be the worst of the best, right?
Well, I don't know. If you're golfing, there's really no worst. There are courses that maybe get a better play than perhaps they deserve, and it's probably sacrilege. But when I talk to other golfers and they all start querying me on this issue, I tell them, you know, Pinehurst number 2, it was a U.S. Open venue, but I played there and I liked it. I really did. I wouldn't recommend anybody skip that venue, but it's in the top 10, and I just, at the end of the round, I thought I could play the same hole over and over again.
Mm, yeah.
So,
you know how I judge a golf course is the package deal that includes the cart. So if I can get the greens fee and the cart for a reasonable price, then I'm more or less happy for the rest of the day.
Well, then you'd enjoy Rustic Canyon out in Simi Valley.
I've been there. One of the handful of golf courses I've been to.
Yes, I think that was $30 a round or something.
Yeah, exactly. And that's enjoyable for me because the golf, that's the, I believe, and I don't recall which hole it was, but there's a hole where you got to land it on an island. And from the tee, there are a series of homes that are facing out along the fairway. And I'm pretty sure I broke somebody's terracotta pot.
Whoopsie.
Well, believe it or not, your homeowner's insurance would cover that.
That's right. They've got signs all over the place.
Mine wasn't a pot. Mine was a window. But I did learn that your own homeowner's insurance will cover it.
So. That's right. So along the way, did you play any good golf? I mean, the golf courses were great. But we say we don't remember the games themselves. But did you have any memorable games?
You know, for the most part, they were all memorable for one reason or another. Sometimes because it was just so cold. Sometimes because it was too hot. But as far as scores go, I think my best round might have been at Trump National there in Palos Verdes.
Oh.
I got a hot putter going that day, and I think the round was in the mid-70s.
Which is the hole that you have to kind of hurry up and play through because there's always a chance that it's going to fall into the sea?
The windmill. It's the windmill.
That is the course, right. but I think it was about 2 or 3 days before it was supposed to open, three of the holes fell into the water, and they played it as 15 holes for a long time.
That's right, yeah, because that coastline in Palos Verdes is constantly moving and shaking.
Right. Well, it was a Pete Dye design, but somehow when Donald Trump bought it, he put those three holes back and he said he was the golf course architect.
Yeah. Now, did your publisher pay your greens fees?
No.
You paid it out of your pocket.
I spent the big bucks.
Well, because you mentioned the Trump course, I mean, it's not cheap to play there.
No, but it's not as expensive as, let's say, Pebble Beach or Shadow Creek in Las Vegas or Wynn. Those will really set you back.
What are you talking about for just you showing up by yourself? No discounts for a foursome or a fivesome or however many you can pile into a car.
Shadow Creek's probably the best example. You can't play there unless you're staying at an MGM hotel. The greens fee is $500 for those few people they let play or let have outside play. You can play there a little more expensive. If you go into the casino and drop $50,000 to $100,000,
yeah,
and you let them know you're a golfer, they'll comp you.
So that they more or less they do that to keep the riffraff out.
Exactly. And so I think they only allow about four foursomes a day.
Yeah.
But it is a $500 green fee. They will pick you up in a limo and drive you through the gate. And of course, then you've also got your caddy. You've got a tip. And by the end of the day, it gets to be rather expensive. But that's an absolutely gorgeous golf course.
When you're at some of these gorgeous golf courses with the high fees, I bet you see some celebrities and some athletes out there.
Occasionally, from time to time, we'll see people. Although you talk about the expensive ones, it was actually Rustic Canyon where Dennis France almost ran me over.
Oh.
But
and he paid the $30 fee.
Apparently, he's a cheap golfer, too. So, the best experience was out at TPC Sawgrass where they play the Players' Championship. And there was a frost delay that morning. I tend to go off-season, and it looked like it actually snowed. So we had the first time, which is typically what I do so I can get it done and on to the next course. We were told that there was a professional that was going to play, but don't worry about it. They're going to put him out in front of us. But he was going to be gone in New York minute, he and his kids. And my brother and I, we were just the two of us. We were walking with the caddy, so we figured no problem. Anyway, we've played about six holes, seven holes, and he just hasn't gotten any separation from us out in front. He keeps looking back. You know, it's like Butch Cassidy, who are these guys? And at nine holes, he stops and he says, "You guys got a place through. You're just too quick for me." And it was Tom Kite.
Oh.
His kids. So, anyway, he signed my scorecard. He's a very, very nice guy.
How about that? That's good. So all in all, it was memorable and you did well. And one last thing. Which golf course has the nicest... I don't know what you call them out there in golf land. The lady that cruises around and makes sure...
The beer girl.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
The cart girl.
The cart girl.
Yes, my favorite cart girl is a Spyglass.
why is that?
Because she's been there 3.5 years, and I went there 3.5 years after I'd been there the first time, and there she was, and she pretended to still remember me.
Oh, see? That's...
I don't think necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, right.
They work for tips. Come on.
Nicely done. Paul Laubach, Confessions of a Golfaholic. The book is a wonderful read. He's played all 100 of Golf Magazine's top 100 U.S. golf courses and writes about it and more in his book. Go check it out. Thank you, Paul, for being on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Phil.
All right. You're welcome. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including haunted plantations, believe it or not. And you know those emails that you send that you wish you didn't send? There's now a real good way to unsend before anybody sees them. Finally, it's here, and you could save yourself from a lot of grief. Our tech guy will tell you about that. And more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, my neck hurts. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, new words in the dictionary that will amaze you, as in... how did that word get into the dictionary? Plus, need a job? How about testing a product that once you test it, probably nobody else will want to touch it? And our tech guy will take you into a hotel room where you can unwind and disconnect. Sounds sacrilegious from our tech guy. The friends are here. Gonzo Greg Spillane, hello, sir.
I didn't do it.
And Skylar Charisma, hello, young lady.
Hello, I'm hands-free.
Yes, good. All right, we're going to keep our eyes on the road for this hour, and we have so much to come. It's a busy hour, but let's start with you, Greg. It is a job opening for something that you wouldn't think people would have to test.
I'm glad the job market is picking up, and this is a good sign, actually, that there's jobs out there for people that could do this. Here's the story. In Sweden, there's like, I guess it's like a government-run employment service, and you can put your ad on there if you have jobs available. So you put your ad up there. If you'd like to do this job, contact us. There's a company that needed people to test sex toys. And so they realized when going to Sweden's employment service website that this might be a delicate topic maybe for the website. So they went to them and said, hey, is this going to be okay if we post this? And apparently...
Word it delicately, don't you?
Right, yeah. And they actually even talked to lawyers about it. Like, can we put this on this website? And it was given the okay. And so they posted an ad saying, look, we need people. And here was the call. We were looking for... driven and methodical sex toy testers.
driven and methodical.
And methodical, yes. Yeah. With, and again quoting, patience and a passion for technical equipment.
Well.
You should also have a previous experience of pleasure and a basic knowledge of Excel.
Spreadsheet.
That's right. So you can type in the results of your testing of the sex toy. So you would go...
Pleasureless data entry personnel should not apply.
Not apply, yes. But if you are a fiend that loves playing with sex toys, then this is the job for you.
Yeah.
So you go to your nearest post office and pick up anonymously a plain labeled package and try out the latest sex toy. Write your review.
In privacy. So the guys in lab coats aren't standing around taking notes while you're doing your
job. No, the guys in lab coats get your Excel spreadsheet that you apparently put all the data into afterwards.
Yeah.
The ad was taken down after a few days, I guess, because they kind of changed their minds and said that maybe it might offend people.
Maybe they got too many applicants?
Well, here's the thing. At one point, they were receiving one application every 20 seconds.
Is that all?
For that, every 20 seconds, somebody else would apply.
Those driven, methodical Swedes.
Statistic.
Driven and methodically applying for the sex toy testing job. Yes.
All right, fine.
Victim of its own success.
There's got to be a word for that in the dictionary.
I don't know if there is, but there are new words in the Oxford Dictionary, and we get these stories every few months, it seems, but... the Oxford Dictionary is one of the more historical dictionaries where they actually go into they research words, and they don't add them all, shall we say, willy-nilly. Don't know if that's in the dictionary or not.
I hope it is.
But we do have, some new words in the dictionary, in the Oxford Dictionary this time around. Hot mess is actually going in as
that's
a word.
Two words.
Finally.
It is two words. Originally, and they did the research, used to be, that was a word for a hot meal.
Oh.
Before it meant Amy Winehouse, but hot mess was something else. And so there were a couple that I was kind of surprised about to see just going in now. I mean, they're putting in, what else is going in this time around? Faux shizzle. Faux shizzle is going in the dictionary.
Faux shizzle.
Is that something that Snoop Dogg invented?
I give him credit, but apparently there's, I guess, more depth to it. But I was surprised that they're just now putting in half-ass.
Oh.
Like something, if you do something half-assed,
right,
that has not actually been in the dictionary.
To perform an action or task poorly or incompetently.
Incompetently, right,
yes.
Or a half-hearted manner.
Yeah.
Circa 1950-something, right, was when half-assed was a fairly regular word.
Right.
I was also really surprised to see that koozie is only recently entered into the dictionary.
That's that little thing you put your beer in.
Yeah, right, a little foamy can thing.
You know what? You know what I notice is when I type that word, it's underlined in red, which means maybe it won't be anymore now that it's in the dictionary.
It'll take some time.
Mm-hmm. You'd rather have to update that. And I guess stanky is just now going into the dictionary.
Yay
as well.
For stanky.
Stanky. So for things that are what, like smelly? Isn't that a weed word, right?
Well, stank is a word.
Right.
But stanky has always been slang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something, and I think you are right. I think you're
unattractive
right
or offensive, according to the people at the Oxford Dictionary.
Right.
As this weed is very unattractive, offensive smelling.
Yes. Right.
Right.
Where there? Let's pack another bowl then. Right. Right.
Shall we?
Right. Cheerio.
Oh gosh. All right. So speaking of words, Skylar, you're a wordsmith. And we've talked about this before. You pay attention to your grammar.
I do. I
and
try.
You pay attention to words, and people don't speak right mm-hmm. sometimes.
No, they don't always speak good.
That's
I've noticed.
Right. People don't talk good at all.
So you know, I'm not trying to offend anyone out there because a lot of people don't know the proper way to say a word. But
that's the thing. If you're ignorant or if you're stupid, you probably don't know it.
Right. So I'm only here to help. Just want to put that out there. What do you think? Doggy dog world or dog eat dog world?
It's the latter, of course.
Of
we know
course.
That because we're smart people here.
Right.
Hold on. People say doggy dog world?
I don't know if it's Snoop Doggy Dog World.
I want to go there. Is that like a ride at Disneyland? I want to go there. It sounds really fun.
Well, for all intensive purposes.
What?
Yes.
I've heard people say that.
Yeah. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, people. How about we go to Starbucks and get an espresso? That might be fun.
An espresso. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where's the X?
Espresso.
Espresso.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly. Yeah.
Supposedly, people don't talk good.
Yeah, that's right.
Nip it in the butt. A lot of people think it's nip it in the butt,
what?
Not bud. Yeah,
oh,
I'm not.
I are you serious? I haven't heard that one.
Or you know, a blessing in the skies.
No.
Instead of a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
And what do you think? Is it buck naked or butt naked?
It's buck.
It's actually both.
Really?
Yeah,
the latter is
say...
just newer.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, that could go either way.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like eventually, if you say faux shizzle long enough, it'll be in the dictionary.
Exactly.
It gets in the dictionary.
And one more for you guys. I don't know if this is true, but it was on the internet, so it must be.
Right.
Heineken remover instead of Heimlich maneuver.
Are you serious? There's no
two
way.
Two different things. Two yeah, completely different things.
There is no way.
But that is epically awesome. Even if it is completely wrong, it's really quite funny.
Yeah.
I have to say.
So there you go. I know
it's up
you guys.
There with, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Or Jose, can you see?
Yeah.
Instead of
right.
Jose, can you see?
God. Or by the way, the people who sing the anthem, will you please sing it properly? It was a very perilous night. It was not a perilous. Now that I've said that, when you listen to the national anthem, when you hear the people who say perilous as opposed to perilous, O-U-S as opposed to L-E-S-S. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal different.
It is.
Changes the meaning of, these guys were they were having a party. They were in no peril whatsoever. I don't think so. By the way, 74% of us check our email on weekends. Our work email, that is.
Mm-hmm.
54% check our work email on vacation. 39% regularly check after 11 o'clock at night.
Yikes.
And 4% of people in this particular survey check their email while having a baby.
Come on.
Wow.
I mean, I would Instagram when I was having a baby, but I'm not going to check my email.
Hey, wow.
Yeah, let's get that on Instagram.
What's your Instagram account name?
Hey.
What's the hashtag for that hideous photo? Gee.
Oh, yikes. Man. Hey, if you like a good scare, or if you watch all those shows on TV, or you're particularly fond of movies like Paranormal Activity, we're going to tie travel, Civil War history, and ghosts all together with our next guest right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. It's Phil Hewlett and friends, as you know, because you're listening. You had to take the effort and make the effort. You took it, then you made it to find us, and thank you for that. Do you like watching the scary movies about houses that have spirits or ghosts and all the creepy stuff that goes on when the ghosts are mad or restless? They start tossing stuff, right? Is that what
yeah,
they
ghosts
do?
Are like that. They're just... They're cranky.
They get so irritated.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I'm like, creep it down. I'm trying to have a nap here.
Yeah. Please. I'm trying to videotape myself asleep with night vision in black and white.
I used to have a polter guy. He would come in and totally redecorate the entire place. I'd wake up in the morning and it was all totally redone.
Go into the light. Go out of the light.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Polter guy.
Joining us now is an expert in supernatural encounters. Paranormal Activity. He's the author of several books, including Haunted Route 66, How to Be a Ghost Hunter, and Haunted Plantations of the South, all from Llewellyn Publishing and all available in the store at Phil Hewlett and Friends. Richard Southall, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I have so many questions for you. First of all, you are a ghost hunter, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
So what does a ghost hunter do?
Well, we do investigations. A lot of people think that it's simply going to haunted locations, but truthfully, only about 20% of the actual investigation takes place on site. Most of it's just simply doing background research, learning about the history, learning about a place that may be haunted, even before we step foot into the allegedly haunted place.
Right. It's good to have the backstory before you walk in, know what you're dealing with. But then when you do show up, do you have instruments with you?
Oh, we've got a few. Mostly what I use would be simply a camcorder with night vision. Another thing would be like a digital thermometer. We can notice that there's a decrease in temperature whenever there's a haunting. And also a voice recorder. What I usually do with that is I would leave it in an area that's allegedly haunted, leave a while, then come back and play it to see if there's any what's called EVPs, electronic voice phenomenon.
No, and what do those sound like, voices, or are they more like, I don't know, strange ambient noises that you wouldn't normally expect?
Both. I mean, sometimes you can actually pick up a voice. Other times you could actually hear a sound that's associated with the haunting. A bell ringing, it could be, you can hear somebody's feet stomping, gunfire, shattered glass, things along those lines.
Gunfire, not actual bullets, just the sound of the gunfire?
Just the sound of the gunfire. Let's say if there was a battle in an area, you can actually pick up the sound of the gunfire. In a lot of cases, I simply think the hauntings are just recordings. Something happened in the past, it left an impression, and it tends to play periodically.
Hmm. That's interesting. So one of the topics here that you've been focused on in one of your books, of course, is the haunted plantation concept. I imagine these places must be rich with restless souls.
Oh, absolutely. A few years ago, I did Haunted Route 66, which was actually a very successful book, but it only went back less than 100 years. Now, the haunted plantations, they can go back 2 to 250 years. So there's a lot of history, there's a lot of emotion connected to many of these plantations.
Give us an example of an encounter.
Well, actually, I've not gone to the plantations. I plan on doing so later this year. But the research I've got is considerable number of Civil War soldiers, a large number of slaves, and in many cases, plantation owners or loved ones themselves.
Hmm. Are people still living in these homes?
Some of them, yes. Some are private residences, and I would try to tend to avoid those because, you know, I don't want to invade anybody's privacy. Some have become bed and breakfasts. Some have actually become parks, and unfortunately, some have become abandoned.
And maybe the ghosts had something to do with that, but the ghosts of slaves and plantation owners, mm-hmm. they're mingling there? And if so, have they settled their score at all?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if they settled their score or not, but in each case, there has been an emotional attachment. In a lot of cases, especially with the slavery, there was a lot of oppression, a lot of abuse, and that tends to leave a definite impression in regards to causing a haunting. As for the plantation owners, my gosh, there are so many different reasons that a place could be haunted. So again, emotionally, people have dedicated their entire lives to raise the crops, to promote their name, so to speak, to develop a reputation as being a successful planter. So there's a great deal of emotion.
Are there organized tours of these alleged haunted plantations? I mean, if I wanted to be a ghost hunter for a day, could I do that?
Absolutely. There are many places. I had written about at least 67 different plantations in haunted plantations of the South. Many of them that are bed and breakfast, they do promote the paranormal aspect, especially Myrtle's Plantation. They actually focus on that. Other places would offer tours.
Are the ghosts generally okay with all the visitors, or do they get annoyed and throw things?
Well, again, it goes back to the whole concept of being a recording. In most cases, there's no sentience to it.
No. So, all right, so you go back to the recording and you see all sorts of activity as people are walking through that the untrained eye may not notice.
Right. Now, there have been other cases. I think that there's ghosts and I think there's spirits. In regards to spirits, usually if somebody has unfinished business, they may stay behind.
Ooh.
If that makes any sense.
It's frightening to think about it when you put it in the movie context. But for a lot of people, this sounds like a great deal of fun just to go out there. Other people take it seriously, like yourself. But what do you say to the folks who listen to what you say and say, yeah, that's just a lot of hooey?
Well, how I look at it, the book is designed for several different populations. One, it's offering legends. It's offering a bit of folklore. What I do is whenever you do the investigations, you learn a great deal of the history of a location. You learn a great deal about the legends. Now, whether a place is truly haunted, that is going to be up to the discretion of the person that may be doing the investigation. However, in regards to the hauntings, let's say if somebody thinks it's a lot of hooey, we're still learning history. In essence, we're keeping the memory of these locations alive.
If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, let's say they feel that just something isn't just right, or they're hearing pots and pans in the middle of the night and they can't explain it, would they be able to contact you and you could look into what's going on at their place?
I'd be happy to get in touch with them. My email for the Haunted Plantations of the South would simply be hauntedplantations@gmail.com.
All right, so the two books are called How to Be a Ghost Hunter and Haunted Plantations of the South. They're both available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Regardless of what it is, it sounds like a hoot or a hoot to go out to these haunted plantations on a vacation trip. Richard Southall, just a pleasure to speak with you, sir.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so what do you think? Would you go to one of these haunted plantations?
Go to the Queen Mary. There's all sorts of spooky stuff going on in there.
Even when it's not manufactured, right?
Yeah, not just the haunted house that they do, but yeah, no, there's been, way before they started doing their big Halloween thing, there's been people that said there's lots of spirits that roam the decks to this day.
Right. Same with the Roosevelt in L.A., you know, the hotel. Mm-hmm. A lot of people stay there in hopes of running into a ghost or two.
Yeah, well, what if danger or peril or injury comes to you because of whatever the ghost does? If you believe the ghost is there, perhaps something, you know, could fall on your head. Or you could trip and fall and skin your knee and start crying.
You could do, if you're me, you do that on a daily basis anyway.
So it doesn't
matter. But that's a drinking thing. It has nothing to do with spirits from beyond. It has to do with vodka.
Yes. Right. Yes. Exactly. And in the meantime, you should probably be wary that there are people out there exercising their tongues. And why are they doing this, Skylar?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, Phil. They're actually doing it in hopes of not snoring anymore.
Is that why?
Yeah. I'm not, okay. I got to know. Do you snore? Phil?
Yes, but I take measures to not snore. But
I do not snore. I simply dream that I am a motorcycle. That is all that I am doing.
Yes.
Do you have that sexy breathe right nasal strip on your face?
I've tried everything. Yeah.
You have to bring sexy and tongue exercises into the.
Why
same,
not? Yeah. Okay, so we have a recent study in Brazil found 5 daily exercises you can do with your tongue to help reduce snoring.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, with your mouth open, you push your tongue against the roof of your mouth and you slide it backwards 20 times.
Oh.
Yeah.
20 times.
20 times.
All right.
Another one, keep the tip of your tongue against your bottom teeth and try to push the back of your tongue down.
Okay.
Another one, suck your tongue against the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
Sounds weird, but it's easy.
Uh-huh. You had me at suck.
Yeah,
but okay.
Of course I did. Yeah. Just push your tongue up, creating suction, and use your entire tongue to push against the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
Repeat that 19 times.
Okay.
And then one more.
Yeah.
Lift your soft palate 20 times. If you don't know where that is, it's on the roof of your mouth at the very back. It's that.
Oh, yeah.
If you feel around,
it's that
soft part. Yeah. And if you don't want to, use the top of your mouth, you can also press your cheek away from your teeth 10 times on each side.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Way too much work. Just snore.
Hey, before you...
exactly.
Before you click send on that email, you should... What? Too late?
No, go ahead.
No, you're in luck. Our tech guy is about to show you how to get that email back before anybody reads it. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to talk tech. Joining us now is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, friends. How are you?
Nanu.
I like when you call us friends because, in fact, that's the name of the show. So one of the things that we do, I think we all do, is that we hastily send off an email and then we look at it later and, something innocuous like a misspelled word or using... the wrong, there instead of there. And you think, oh, gosh, I look like an idiot. But there are other cases where you fire off some kind of missive. You flame out and you don't count
that vitriolic thing that you send to your president of your company. And you think, maybe I shouldn't have.
And you send it without thinking. Now, gosh darn it, I'd like to get that back because in about a matter of 3 seconds, I had an idea that maybe it was wrong that I sent that. Jeremy, is there any way to unsend something I've sent? Because there have been ways, but they still see it, right?
Yeah, well, Gmail is introducing a new feature. It's actually been around for quite some time if you've poked around in the labs section where you can add experimental features to Gmail, but they've rolled this out to everyone. This is an undo send. So after you make that mistake, you send that email that you probably shouldn't have, you'll have the ability to stop it from really going out. So you'll be able to select between 5 and 30 seconds, and once you have turned this on, any email that you send gives you the ability to hit a button at the top of the screen right after you sent it to make sure that you do, in fact, want those messages to go out.
So in essence, it's going to take between 5 and 30 seconds to land in the recipient's inbox.
Correct. So this is not some new technology that figures out a way to go out there and delete a message that you've already sent. This is going to simply delay the message from actually going out.
So they're just putting it like in a hopper for a while.
That's right. An idiot timer to make sure that you do want that to go out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. I do think that they're going to need to figure out a way to delete something in somebody's inbox on our behalf.
Agreed.
Wait a minute. How long? What's the longest you get?
30 seconds. So this is not a...
It usually takes me a few hours to sober up. They're going to have to make a...
Well, they used to have a feature called goggles, which actually was pretty cool. And it would actually come on during, the weekend times, Friday evening to Sunday.
Yes.
And if it detected it was late, it would actually give you a series of math questions to answer within less than a minute.
Right.
If you weren't capable of doing that, it wouldn't allow the message to go out.
Is that still around or did they get rid of that?
They got rid of it. It was one of the experimental features. I thought it was pretty funny and cool.
They should do that at bars, too.
They ditched it.
Awesome idea. Now, Jeremy, when you go on the road, at least when I do, it's nice to have internet in my hotel room. But sometimes I just really want to get away.
Absolutely. And so many of us, go on vacation or, go out of town and are simply glued to our phones. Well, a hotel in Germany has decided that they want to offer guests a way to physically disconnect. And so in the room, they've got an internet kill switch. And so what this does, when you enable it, it completely kills your wireless connection. The hotel wireless isn't going to be offered to you. And it enables something called a Faraday cage in the room, which means that the room itself has metal screening and things that you're not going to necessarily see visually, but will completely kill internet signals and wireless signals to your carrier. So you're able to turn this feature on and just completely disconnect and not have any excuse to try
That's
and use.
That's pretty amazing. Can we just – it would be cool if they could filter it so it just kept the Kardashians out.
Yeah. That would be a good feature. I would sign
right?
up for that.
Yeah.
Now, what does this do to your phone? It just renders it useless, right?
Well, it probably will start draining your battery really quickly because as it is, you know, not able to make any signal connection, it continuously is trying and looking for a connection. So it probably will drain your battery a little bit, but you should just turn your device off and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, because if you're all in, even if you had one of those world phones that you can make calls back to home, you don't want to.
But in the hotel,
really.
Safe.
Yeah, there you go. Now, Facebook has been all over the news this week for various reasons, but when you get as big as Facebook has, people start having fun with your company, don't they?
They do, and you'll probably recall Elo, which was kind of the social network of the moment when it first launched, October of last year.
I have one friend on Elo right now, yeah, so, yep.
Right. So, kind of like, Google, whatever that Google product was. Anyways, so they're billing themselves as the alternate social network, and so there's privacy, no advertising. They're not going to be giving your information and, your data to other companies. Well, what they're doing is they're actually using Facebook to try to put their ads in people's faces, and the ads that they've actually created are kind of creepy, and it shows how much information Facebook is exposing to different advertisers. So one of them is this creepy looking dude kind of looking through the blinds on a window, and it says, "They told us that you're single in NYC," and they've got this series of ads that really illustrate kind of how creepy the information that is being exposed to all these different advertisers on Facebook for the right amount of money.
Yeah, well, so that's the definition of free on the internet, isn't it?
That's right. If you're not paying for it, you are the product.
Yeah, exactly right. We got to remember that at all times. Are you astonished at how big Facebook actually is? Because I believe on Tuesday we reported that Facebook now is a bigger company than Walmart.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, just looking at the technical ability of the things behind the scenes that are making that happen. Many companies stumble when they're talking about thousands of users or hundreds of thousands of users, and the amount of data and traffic that is going through Facebook just on a technical level is just astonishing.
And is that the business model, really? They're just selling the data, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they probably know you better than you know yourself. The amount of data and information, the insights that can be generated based on all those data sets that they have can be pretty startling on how accurate they are.
So if I'm an advertiser and I say, all right, I want to reach a guy in his late 40s with red dye in his hair, who lives alone, has four ex-wives, and
everyone's seen his penis on the internet.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
right?
Looking for this guy, then they could drill down to that specific, can't they?
And deliver the ad directly to him. So
that's why I keep getting that ad.
Oh, jeez.
There you have it.
They make the sale. All right, Jeremy. It's always great to talk with you. We love talking tech, and then we'll do this again next week at this time.
Let's do it again. We'll see you then.
Thank you. All right. There he goes. It's our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. He makes apps. You know that?
Does he really?
Yeah.
Really?
He's an app master.
Does he have like a Jeremy app?
Well, he very well might. But he's got a whole crew of guys.
Really?
Yeah. Like a big company bought his app company.
Oh, so he's rich.
Well, more or less, yeah. He won't admit it. But, he's got toys like $2,500 drones that he flies around. He's got a house up in the Santa Barbara area somewhere.
Wow.
I think he lives up the street from Oprah, as a
matter
of
fact. So can we get Pam Anderson videos?
Maybe.
Right, possibly.
And then he hops on one of those little private jets and he flies up to the Silicon Valley to babysit his app makers.
Well, wow. Jeremy.
Yeah, see? Yeah, what do you think? You're visiting the show. You think we're just schlums here?
I never said that. Never did I say that.
No. Okay. All right. Fine. Up next.
I have an app idea.
What's that?
It involves cheese, but that was just going to be a weird thing I was just going to throw in before you go to the close here.
Okay.
So
no.
There's that.
We're not going to the close yet.
It's like a cheese app. If you're near cheese, if you're at the store, and you want to know what cheese you want to get, it would direct you to the nearest, most awesome cheese.
Yeah.
As opposed to the regular, like, you know, you don't want a
boring
lame,
cheese.
Like provolone, yeah, or Swiss or
what
something like that.
What are you doing? You're giving up your whole idea.
You want this something stinky and awesome, it would direct you, you would use GPS to direct you to the nearest, most awesome cheese. You can cut me off at any time to go to the next segment. I'm just doing this now.
On this further to this topic, Greg, up next, doctors may have found a vaccine for chlamydia.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Oh, we love it when doctors cure things. And I don't know, it seems like we're all probably candidates for Alzheimer's disease. Greg, you agree with that statement?
Who are you and why are you talking to me? What is these voices? What?
It seems like we're all candidates for Alzheimer's disease someday.
On?
Is that
Hello?
Correct, Greg? Oh, wait a minute. That's happening to me, too.
We are, actually. Yeah. Remember George Carlin used to have that great bit where you walk into a room in your house and you go, why did I come in here?
Yeah.
And that one thought goes through your mind, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
Scientists now say that maybe 10 to 12 years before you first exhibit any signs of legitimate Alzheimer's, you're actually already starting to get it, which is simultaneously both horrifying but also good news because it gives doctors a jump on maybe being able to fix it, you know?
Yeah.
So they did a survey. They took a bunch of old people and checked on them a bunch, and basically they figured out that Alzheimer's starts long before you even know it, which just sort of wasn't a big surprise to me because I'm barely able to exist. And that may be due in part largely to alcohol, but
yeah.
also the Alzheimer's. So, yeah, it starts a lot earlier than they even know. Before you show signs, it starts showing. It's in your brain.
So is this something then, is it a breakthrough that allows them to maybe stave it off for a while?
That's what they're saying. They're able to see, they do brain scans and stuff now, and then they can see that it actually starts developing before you show those signs of, huh?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what they're working on.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, doctors do amazing things. And right now, the only STDs you can get vaccinated against are HPV and hepatitis. Did you know that? And yet tons of people still pass on using condoms because, well, okay, fine, for whatever reason.
Because condoms.
Yeah. So,
I mean, right?
So just imagine how many more people will not use condoms when they hear this. Scientists at Harvard believe they've just found a vaccine that can prevent you from getting chlamydia.
Wow, and the grandmother of all?
Yeah, it's huge, right?
Social
because
diseases, right?
Chlamydia is everywhere. We call it affectionately the clams. Almost 3 million Americans get chlamydia every year. So if you figure that out, it'll take 100 years and every single American will have chlamydia. Because
great. That's something to look
forward
to. There
are 100 million Americans, and so 3 million every year. So they tested the vaccine on mice, because apparently they have chlamydia. And it worked.
It doesn't discriminate.
Mice are sluts. Yeah. Let's face it. I mean,
you know, sure.
You know, dirty, hoary mice.
Yeah. Hey, want to go out for some cheese?
Go get some cheese.
An app for that.
Want to come up and see my trap? But it's a long process to test this thing on humans and get government approval and hit the market, so don't get too excited. Still, maybe your children will grow up in a country,
no chlamydia.
And a simple vaccine can prevent you from getting this potentially dangerous STD.
That's awesome.
Isn't it?
Right?
We can hope.
about the other ones?
Eventually we'll get to all of those. You know, people are
Rome
sometimes
wasn't built in a day.
That's okay. True. And people aren't real aware of what's going on. Heat of the moment, all of that sort of thing. And sometimes you hear these stories about ladies who are pregnant and they didn't know they were pregnant, or other weird things happen. And there's the odd story about the baby falling in the toilet and, you know, that kind of thing. But Skylar, this one takes the cake.
Yeah, because it's not I didn't know I was pregnant. She knew she was pregnant. It was I didn't know I gave birth.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So a woman in China went into labor last week. She was going into labor last week. So she hopped on the back of her husband's motorbike to go to the hospital, which is like what any woman would do.
Like you do. Sure. Yeah.
Somehow she had given birth on the ride there and didn't realize it.
On the bike?
On the bike. On the motorbike. On the ride to the hospital. She gave birth to her tiny baby boy.
Where'd the baby go?
Well, the baby slipped down her leg and onto the street.
No.
The doctors think a bump in the road must have cut the umbilical cord.
Or maybe the exhaust pipe.
Yeah, something. Believe it or not, her baby was okay.
Oh.
Someone actually found him, picked him up quickly, and he only suffered minor injuries with no permanent damage.
You know what they say about biker chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
I don't know. I don't have a close for that joke.
I was waiting.
That's all right.
I only have the open.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you could do it the other way around, but this time, maybe not. You know what Spotify is, right?
Of course.
That's the music service, right?
Right.
That you think, okay, I'm going to download Spotify and listen to a bunch of music. But then
is that the one that keeps Taylor Swift out of my ears?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then I like that one.
Yeah. Although, after you download the thing and you say, okay, I want to start listening to some music, then you realize, I got to start paying for my music.
You don't want commercials.
It's a pay service. You could put together some channels, but just the same, there's not a lot you can do with Spotify. It's unless you pay. But anyway, they put together the top 10 songs of summer 2015. They're trying to help you realize what it is you should be listening to. You know how these services are. When you listen to one thing, they say, because you liked that, you'll enjoy this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're going to love this.
No,
right.
It doesn't work.
They're often wrong, I've noticed, but that's okay.
You're right.
Macarena.
No.
No?
No.
I suck at this game.
All right. Now we're going to start from 10 and work our way up. 10 is, and I don't know half of these groups, Alessia Cara. Alessia Cara is her name. Her song is called Here, Song of Summer.
Hmm.
Don't know it.
Don't know it.
I don't know
they
that
must be
song.
Pushing it.
Yeah. Zed is number 9. Zed with Zed, two D's.
Course.
Not the number Zed, but mm-hmm. the one with two D's like a name, mm-hmm. which is short for what? Zedadiah?
Or Z in Canada.
Yeah. Beautiful right. Now is the... yeah,
I think
right.
That's
it's
the
a
one
number.
With
it's
Selena
a letter,
Gomez.
Not a number.
Is that the one with Selena Gomez?
It doesn't say.
Because actually, that's a good one if it is.
Okay. You know, gang, maybe we should stop this because we all sound horribly unhip.
Yeah, well, no, it gets worse. And number 8 is Sage the Gemini featuring Nick Jonas. Hey, I know who that is.
I know of that person.
The song is Good Thing. Here's one. Talking Body is number 7, Songs of Summer. Tove Lo,
yes.
You know who that
Tove Lo.
Is?
Yes.
I know who Tove Lo is,
yeah.
Yes.
All right.
She is.
She had that song about like being in the bathtub and masturbating.
Oh, well, that's popular stuff.
That's why I'm a fan.
Now, here's a song. It's called Cheerleader. It's the Felix John remix done by OMI. Or is it OMI?
How come I feel like I should know?
Kids these days listen to Major Lazer.
Yes.
Lean On is his song, number 5. His, her. Her, his?
Major Lazer is male.
Okay. And we should point out that Tove Lo is female.
Yes.
Okay. Nicki Minaj, I know who that is. How can you not?
How
She's
can you
everywhere.
Miss it? I mean, her.
The Night is Still Young. What does that mean? That you're going to get lucky with Nicki Minaj later on when the night gets old. Maroon 5 is the number 3 song of summer. The Summer's Gonna Hurt Like a Mother Effer is the name of the song.
There's still a Maroon 5?
Is it because they have the word summer in it or because they think
no,
these are like summer
No, it's because it has the word
anthems.
Mother Effer and they actually use the real word.
Ooh.
That's why it's popular.
Makes it tough during the back and outs on the morning show.
Yeah. There's a group.
Good morning.
There's a group or a rapper. I don't know what it is. A person. The Weeknd.
The Weeknd. He's awesome.
Yeah. Is he? It's a he. All right.
The Weeknd is a person?
It's W-E-E-K-N-D.
Yeah. He's missing an E.
Mm-hmm.
He's E deficient. And
on purpose.
His song is Can't Feel My Face, which sounds like a party song.
I wrote that song. It's stolen. I am filing a copyright infringement at this moment.
Right. Okay. And finally, the number 1 top 10 song of the summers from Spotify is done by Jamie Double X or Jamie XX. I'm not sure how it goes. I know there's going to be, parenthetically, good times.
How's that song
all sound so blah.
Yeah. Come on, where's Radar Love?
You know, where's Radar Love?
All right, there's
Phil, a summer anthem.
Grandpa Phil, everybody.
Here's Radar Love. Now that's a song. Let me tell you, kids, with your party and your extra X's in your names.
Yeah. And no E's.
Yeah. You got no E's, you got extra X's.
You with the apps and the games. Can we just sit down and play a game of Monopoly?
You need some Radar Love in your life.
Radar.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
Hey, Wayne, you do still play Monopoly, don't you? Does anybody still play board games, or do they just play on their phones?
I've never ever finished a game of Monopoly.
Neither have I. Don't.
Yeah, you always start with great intentions, and then everybody.
What's your free parking rule? Do you have one?
Well, you get the money in the pot, right?
Yeah. Well, apparently that's not in the rules. You're not supposed to get anything when you land on free parking.
But, oh, yeah, that's an unofficial thing, right?
But, yeah, almost nobody plays it that way. Most people tie some amount of money to landing there. Our executive producer, Mike Stark, he says anytime you pay a fee, rather than giving it to the bank, you put it in the center of the table, of the board, and when you land on – what do you land on? You get it? When you land on free parking.
Free parking. Wouldn't America be great if, like, all the fees we paid, like parking tickets, went into a big pot in Washington somewhere?
Yeah.
And then when you got, like – a speeding ticket, or I don't know, you landed on something and you got all that. How awesome would that be?
Yeah, well, that was the original idea of taxation. But you see, all the middlemen got in the way. And for every dollar you get taxed, you see, in reality, a fraction of a penny.
Is that how that works?
Really? It is how that works, because all the other money goes into all the pet projects and into the back pockets of people.
Just
that
the go to jail thing is still a bummer, regardless.
True.
Game or reality.
Yeah.
Get out of free. Yeah. Get out of jail free.
I need that card.
Gonzo, amazing job once again. And Skylar, how lovely to have you here in the studio. And
Thank you did a fine
job.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We love your comments. Contact is the link at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at FAFShow, on facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. If you listen on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail on the website. It's free. If you have a microphone on your computer, just click the blue tab and yap away. We might play you on the air. You never know. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson. Oh, does she do a job. Our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Skylar and for Gonzo Gregg and all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.